Thank you for joining us in the worship of the Lord this Lord's Day, the first in the month of June, trusting that the Lord will bless you as the month progresses. We had resumed last Lord's Day considering the letter saints from the book of Hebrews. And we basically are in chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. We resume the consideration of the letter's statements from Hebrews by asking a question. Are you running by faith the race marked out for you? Are you running by faith the race marked out for you? Let me invite you to therefore turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, as we continue considering those verses and seeking to challenge ourselves, reflecting on that question, are you running by faith the race marked out for you? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Reading from the New International Version. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Are you running by faith the race marked out for you? Let's pray together. It's a great privilege, our Father in heaven, that you've given us yet again this Lord's Day. We do ask that as we worship you in the preaching of your word, in the listening to the same and trusting, hearing and applying what we have heard, we pray that you'll be gracious. You will be pleased to so our Father speak to us each one, that we will respond fittingly to your word. Thank you for this great opportunity of listening to your word with freedom. You know that there are many people, many countries that do not have this privilege. So we are grateful. Therefore, help us to seize this opportunity, this moment, to diligently listen and follow and obey that which you would teach us. Thank you that we have a cloud of witnesses that are given to us in chapter 11 as an example as we run this race. So help us, our Lord, to run this race like they did, doing what was right, avoiding what was wrong. Be pleased again, we ask this Lord's Day, to save, to rebuke, to call to holiness, to service and diligence to you. Our Father, we ask that you bless the preaching of your word this morning. In the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We observed last Lord's Day, by way of providing an explanation, that the author in this chapter is pressing the believers to continuously exercise faith and endurance in the midst of different afflictions and evils. As we focus on these verses, please do remember It's in the context of afflictions and evils. And in that context, he's saying to them, you must run this race, and I've given you plenty examples, and I'll give you an ultimate model, but it's in the context of evils and afflictions. And it's in that context he's writing, pressing the believers to continuously exercise faith and endurance. The author, we observed, is calling the saints to a practical response to the examples he has given of Old Testament saints in chapter 3. As you observe in the book of Hebrews, that there is an exposition and then there is the opening up, the application. So as it were, in chapter 11, we have the scriptures, the exposition, the Bible opened up, and in chapter 12, he is calling us to respond, to apply. And NIV begins this way, underlining the application, the applicatory nature of this segment. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off. Here is the practical step. Here is what you do. Here is the material I have taught you, what it implies, and this is how you respond to that material. So the author is calling the saints to a practical response to the examples he has given of Old Testament saints in chapter 11. We observed what we have here in Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3, is a call to constancy or steadiness in the Christian profession. It is an exhortation to steadfastness in the Christian life. It is a pressing appeal for making personal holiness our supreme business. That's what we observe by way of providing some brief explanation regarding our verses. And I made a proposition simply by stating the following. Spurred on by past examples of chapter 11 and focusing on Jesus as author and perfecter of faith, every Christian must run the race marked out for him or her. Every Christian must run the race marked out for that particular Christian in this world. But that race is not simply to be run independently, individualistically. In the context of Hebrews 12, there is a reference to the corporate nature of running that race. I argued then that this is so as the affirmations in chapter 12, verse 1 to 3 will clearly show. So we are considering the affirmations regarding the statement that every Christian must run the race marked out for them. And regarding this race, there are truths that are stated. There are facts that are laid down. There are affirmations that are brought out from this passage in that regard. And the first of those affirmations we saw was simply that there is a race to be run. There is a race to be run. Look at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. There is a race for each one of us and for all of us. Stated, the Christian life is pictured here as a race deliberately to underscore that it demands endurance, demands stamina, and exercise. It is more of a marathon, not a brief burst of energy for a 100-meter sprint. It requires a sustained, continuous exertion and burning of calories. Being a race, we said, for it to be a race, to you like every race, this race must be run. Like every race, it must be run according to the rules laid out in the rule book. I indicated we'll see a little more detail about running according to the rules. In the second place, by way of affirmations, we observe not only is it affirmed that there is a race to be run, but it is affirmed that there are saints who've run this race before, and they ran victoriously. This race has been run by saints of old, and they won. We are not the first to run this race. And that's what the author would like us to see in the opening verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run, implication, because they did. So it is affirming, this passage is affirming that there are others who run this race, the Christian race, the God-marked out race, and they ran it victoriously. It has been lived by others before us victoriously. Those who have run the race before are not few, but a great, dense cloud. It's multitudes that have run this race. I indicated that even this COVID situation we are experiencing, we're not the first ones. We're not uniquely living in a virus-infested situation called virus or pandemic proportion. This has happened before in history, not once, several times. And that among the affected been Christians who did live during these pandemics and epidemics victoriously. And therefore, this passage is saying, look to those, learn from them, make them your models and examples on how you run the race, particularly during this period of a challenging nature. We observe that the thrust of our text is that just as those who have preceded us reach the goal by faith and endurance, so must we. So we consider two affirmations. Today, hopefully, we consider four more, and very quickly, and then spend a little more time on verse 3, focusing on Christ as the ultimate example, the Lord willing, next Lord's Day. But then the third affirmation is simply this, and it's connected to the second affirmation. This race has those who ran it in the past, and who are victorious, as witnesses attesting to the work of God, to this race, to the efficacy, to the power of faith, if I may put it that way. This race has those who ran it in the past and who are victorious as witnesses attesting to it. Let's read verse 1. Of chapter 12, that this passage is affirming that those who ran this race and won are witnesses for those who are running this race today. They are providing evidence that this race can be won if you run it with a certain attitude, if you run it depending on Christ, if you run it according to the rules, if you run it by the grace provided of God. They are attesting to that reality and that truth. They are giving us attestation. They are providing testimonies that this race has been and it came. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Literally, the passage could read this way. Let us run also this race, because we have witnesses who also did run this race. Previous affirmation was to do that. Others did run, and they ran victoriously. The emphasis of the third affirmation is that these same ones who ran victoriously are witnesses, providing evidence that this race has been and can be run victoriously. This race, as those who ran it in the past and were victorious as witnesses, attesting to it. Now, the imagery of witnesses, as you read commentaries, scholars, has two levels of understanding or two suggested meanings. One, if you read, for instance, Vine's dictionary, he tells us that the first of the meanings, and he argues the major meaning of witnesses, is the spectators or watchers or viewers. And the reason he argues this way is that what we have here is a stadium-like arrangement. There is a game being played, and there are spectators. Vincent's own words, quoting him directly, Vincent, in the Word Studies of the New Testament, tells us that the original would literally read, "Having so great a cloud lying around us." Having so great a cloud lying around us. And he continues to say, the idea of spectators is implied and is really the principal idea. The writer's picture is that of an arena in which the Christians of whom he addresses are contending in a race, while the vast host of the heroes of faith, who after having borne witness to the truth, have entered into their heavenly rest, watches the contest from the encircling tires of the arena, compassing and overhanging it like a cloud, filled with lively interest and sympathy. That is, in a sense, argument, that the meanings of witnesses in this text or passage also has this picture of people watching, so that you have these saints up in heaven, they are looking down on us as we run. Majority of commentators argue that that's not the thrust. Part of the reason they say that's not the thrust of the verse is simply that this would be the only passage in the Bible that seems to point to the fact that the saints up in heaven actually look down on us, as in watching us. I would want to state very quickly that in biblical scholarship, simply because the Bible says it once does not mean it's less important. God does not mean to say a thing many times to validate that he has said it, to state that it's important. He does, and he has done so in many places. But to simply argue, because this is the only place, therefore it can't mean this, is not sound biblical scholarship. So that in this sense, Vincent may have a point, but I hasten to say that many scholars argue that's probably not the thrust. Leading us to the second meaning. Those who bear testimony is the meaning of witnesses. Those who provide evidence regarding the necessity of faith and endurance if this race is to be run victoriously. So the sense, therefore, would be this. While we're running this race, we have multitudes and multitudes that are providing evidence, one, of the necessity of faith. And that is indisputable in the scriptures. The Christian life is a life of faith. Faith is essential. You cannot claim to be a Christian and not have faith in the Savior and faith to live out your Christian life. The degree of how we express this faith may be different, but we all, if we Christians, have this faith. And in running this race, that this group of saints who've gone before us are providing evidence that if you're going to run this race, you must have faith. You cannot run it without faith. And that basically is the entire argument of chapter 11. Listen to how chapter 11 begins. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. All of them. And then he begins to list these ancients. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham. All these were living by faith. And that's the whole thrust of chapter 11. So that when we come therefore to chapter 12, regarding our running this race, it must be run by faith. So this cloud of witnesses are providing evidence of the necessity, the indispensability, the essential nature of faith in your Christian and my Christian and our Christian life. So those who bear testimony, those who provide evidence regarding the necessity of faith, but they also provide evidence about something else. That if you're going to win this race, you must persevere. It's not simply believing momentarily. It's not simply believing for a short time. It's not simply believing for a period and you let go. It's not simply believing when things are easy. It's not simply believing when you can demonstrably point to the glorious blessings positively of God. Now listen to the text. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. And these witnesses of chapter 11, each and every single one of them persevered, they endured, they ran this race diligently, they ran the race persistently. Of Abel, run the rest persistently. Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, all these, Isaac, Joseph, Jacob, Moses, all of them. All of them. And then we have in verse 32, a whole list of people he doesn't spend time opening up on. I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samuel. You investigate and study all these characters. That which all of them had in common is that they all had faith in God. They all ran the race. They all endured. They all endured. Some endured up to death. Verse 37, they were put to death by stoning. Even when the stones hit them, they did not recant. They did not deny their belief in Christ. That is what we have. But these saints who ran victoriously, they did so because they continued to believe, they endured. If you understand even a little meaning of endurance, It assumes difficulty. It assumes friction. It implies there is opposition. It underlines that there is pain. There is exertion. It's not easy going. You're not simply sliding along. And again, I would like to state, anyone that tells you the Christian faith is a smooth, slide along, enjoyably, no hostilities, no suffering, no poverty, no pain, is not biblical Christianity. A faith or a Christianity without endurance is none at all. Here is the text. Let us run this race with perseverance. So the two images, the second one seems to have more thrust. The meaning is that they are giving us evidence. In other words, are you looking for proof? You're looking for facts? You're looking for not simply circumstantial evidence, verified beyond doubt. Go to the sense of old. They will all tell you they ran because faith is what propelled them. They endured. It was not easy. This race is to be run victoriously. Faith is absolutely essential. Endurance or perseverance is part and parcel. It is the whole package of the Christian faith. Did you get saved yesterday? You get saved 3 weeks ago? And somebody told you now that you saved, everything will just fall in place and it's going to be a glorious and easy journey. I have unpleasant news for you. It's the beginning of your long run of endurance and perseverance and an application of faith, holding on to Christ. This is what, therefore, it means by way of application. Is life tough? Going through hardships? Frustrations of life? Things don't seem to be falling in place. In other words, is the rest becoming difficult? Are you going uphill on this marathon? Are you finding it difficult to maintain the momentum? Are you probably slowing down? You probably wanting to fall? These witnesses would say to you, persevere. Keep going. You feel like you're running out of breath. Keep going because God will sustain you. Keep believing in the Savior. His grace is sufficient for you. So the emphasis is that the life of faith has been amply attested to by a great cloud of witnesses. It's like saying to a young man or a young lady by many elderly or mature men and women, they say to them, don't go this way, don't walk this path. There is enough evidence if you walk along this path, you'll be harmed. It is unwise, it is foolish to not heed. The exhortation to run the race in these verses is an appeal to the saints to call to mind that the race, the victory of faith, the Christian life, not only had been run victoriously by the saints of old, but that these saints of old, who were now from their blessed rest as spirits of the just made perfect, are witnesses of and to this race. We are running like the competitors in a stadium with a mighty multitude who themselves have participated in this race and have won and bear witness to this truth. You can to run this race according to these rules. Faith, perseverance, and as we shall see, fixing your eyes on Christ. There is a tone of great encouragement to the believer today to run this race faithfully, in the sheer numbers of those who reign this race victoriously in the past. The language used pictures a great mass, a vast compassing and overhanging mass of witnesses. Said it last Lord's Day, I'll say it this Lord's Day. Those who run, those who ran and won are many. And there is a tone of encouragement in the fact that many multitudes, millions of Christians who've gone before us, did run by faith, did endure. We therefore can look to them and be encouraged. When things are tough, we look out to them and ask, how did they run? How did they come out? You lie, look to Isaac, look to Abraham, they lied before. How did they make amends? Did they overreact? Look to Moses, who spoke to God face to face. Didn't follow instructions and was stopped from entering. What can we learn from him? Talk about forgiveness. Joseph forgave his brothers. To talk about being used by God supernaturally, look to Samson and a whole host of them. Want to look to leadership? David, Deborah, and many other judges. They all ran by faith and endured. Some were sick for a long period. Some were poor. Some were rich. Reflecting on the rich Job, reduced to a pauper, God's faithfulness, and ran his race by faith and endured. Are you discouraged? Please read the Old Testament. Read church history. Learn from those who've gone before us. You need not invent your own new methods of running this race. There is enough examples and there is enough testimony. It also implies this. You can never say, this is uniquely, this is just me. You know, no one else has gone through this. Hey, this has been designed for me and therefore I failed because of me. Involved in adultery, David was. Dealt with it. So the passage affirms, those who ran this race and won are witnesses. They are providing evidence. They are attesting to the truth that faith is essential and that this race must be run with great perseverance. The fourth affirmation, this race is marked out for each one to run. And we can even go further. There is a sense in which that every local church has their race marked out for them. That there is that which God would want us as NBC to accomplish. There is that which God wants us, wants another local church. This race is marked out. The text. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And the implication or the explicit teaching of that language is this. This is marked out by God. This is not by some human drawing. This is not like we are doing recently, some drawings in a place of meeting so that we obey social distancing. And we put pieces of paper or chalk, we draw lines and mark those. Now, this particular race, the lines along which you run, the direction for which you run, the ones with whom you will run, God has marked out that for you. this rest, the passage affirms in the fourth place, this rest is marked out for each one of us individually as a collective body of Christians. There is a rest marked out or set before us by God. We all run as individuals and churches, but we do not all run on the same rest track. We do not all run the same rest. Yes, it's a Christian rest. But I am on a lane that God has marked out for me. You are on your lane that God has marked out for you. Focus on your lane and run your rest. Part of the problem is that there is too much crisscrossing. We end up stumbling and tackling one another. Marked out. The time, that is period and duration of this rest, has been marked out. Until that time comes to a close, you must continue running. Let me put it graphically. Until you drop dead, you continue running. I stated last Lord's Day, I'll state again. It does not say, the passage does not say, well, if things get tough, you can stop running. The text doesn't say that. The text is in the context of difficulties. It's in the context of hardships. It's in the context of persecution. It's in the context of evils, afflictions, maladies of life. Until the time matures, you continue running. You do not stop. You do not stop. The pace at which you run might be redefined according to God's way of doing things, your physical abilities, your mental abilities, your family issues, but you can't stop running. You cannot give an excuse that now I've stopped running because. Let me put it this way. COVID must not be an excuse to stop living the Christian life. You shouldn't stop being hospitable because of COVID. You should not stop encouraging others because of COVID. Unfortunately, it's only Christians that tend to disapprove. Let's meet, understand our concerns, but please don't use COVID as an excuse for not doing what is right. The other thing we observed was, let us not give up meeting together, some are in the habit of doing. With or without. As long as the experts tell us, we may have our reservations, but it boils down to this. If you're not fulfilling biblical injunction, it's simply as an excuse. You're sinning. You're sinning. The path on which this race must be run has been marked out. The rules by which this race must be run have been set out. You can't run like any other race just by your own rules. I've observed properly, there are certain races at the beginning, maintain your lane, only at a certain point. But if it's 100 meters, maintain your lane to the finishing line. Well, this race, run according to the rules. We're living at a time where Christianity, particularly evangelical Christianity, has been compromised, becoming more liberal, self-centered. There is no absolute truth. Please, this race has rules. Run by the book. Run by the book. The rest is set before each and all saints. It is marked out to them both by the word of God and the examples of the faithful servants of God. That cloud of witnesses with which they are compassed about. It is set out by proper limits and directions. They mark they run to and the prize they run for are set before them. Where you run towards is set up. So I ask the question. You're running the race, you answer yes. You're running the race by faith, you answer in the affirmative. Are you persisting in running? Are you enduring the obstacles? You say yes. Well, the question is, are you running according to the rules? And the rules are not necessarily all the time pleasant. Worship itself sometimes may not be as enjoyable. The fact that you felt nice at church does not necessarily your worship is acceptable. It is only so when you do it according to the rules. You come to a place of worship, you're coming alone. Does not necessarily mean it is pleasing to God. It is how you come and how you conduct, the Apostle Paul will tell us. I am writing these things to you, Timothy, so that you may know how to conduct yourselves. You come into church, not to Jantemba or some drinking place, to church. You're not going swimming. Run your race. Oh, but this race must still be run even when you're at work. Everybody else is stealing, doesn't mean you steal as well. Everybody else is insulting, does not mean you do. Everybody else is disrespecting others, does not mean you disrespect others. Everybody else is so sarcastic, does not mean you become sarcastic. Everybody else is so immodest. They are not decent. They are not dressing properly. Does not mean you do the same thing. Run the race according to the rules. They are prescribed. They are markings that you must follow. The fifth affirmation. We close with this one. This race must be run with no entanglements as much as possible. All weights and sinful things that entangle us must be set aside. This race, the passage affirms, must be run with no entanglements as much as possible. The Christian's life involves negative and positive injunctions. Listen to the text. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything, that is every weight that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles. There is a rest. That's affirmation number one. Affirmation number two. This race has been run by some and they won. Affirmation number three. Those who ran this race and won are witnesses. They are providing evidence regarding the essential nature of faith and the necessity of endurance if we are going to win. Affirmation number four. This is a marked out race for each one. Affirmation number six. Number five, this race must be run with no entanglements as much as possible. Let us throw off everything that entangles, that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles. The Christian life has, according to a summary, to the summary of Scripture, two duties, negative and positive. The duty of mortification and vivification. The duty of killing and enlivening. The putting off of the old man and the putting on of the new man. No entanglements and sin must be allowed to hinder our running of this race effectively. Nothing must be allowed. Entanglements and sin are hindrances to Christian progress. And in Christian work and service, individually and corporately. Weights may not necessarily be sinful. And I'll be explaining briefly this Lord's Day a little bit, and maybe next Lord's Day. But whether this is a weight you have entertained passively, or this is a sin you're committing privately or publicly, every weight, every sin reduces progress. Entanglements and sin are hindrances to Christian progress and in Christian work and service, individually and corporately. Listen to the text again. Let us throw off everything that hinders our running effectively this race. Let us throw off every sin that so easily entangles, messes up our running. Throw off everything that hinders, that is all. Inordinate, that is excessive, extravagant, unreasonable affections and concerns for your physical needs and the present life and the world. Anything, whether good or bad, that disrupts your running this race must be thrown off. Inordinate or disproportionate care for the present life or affection. Beloved, I ask again, are you running by faith the race marked out for you? Please do run this race. And I will say again, this implies that you are saved. Are you? Maybe you're not running, you're all over failing because you're not saved. Are you sure you are running? To be tough, please do run. In sickness, please do run. In poverty, please do run. Without a job, please do run. With a good job, please do run. Young and old, please do run. Male and female, please do run. Run the race marked out for you. I beg of you, please do, for the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you will enable us. Thank you for your word. Particularly pray for those that are seeking to run this race by their own efforts. All may they be pointed to Christ, and that this race can only be run by faith. Yes, we'll endure. But that endurance is not because of our energy and our strength. It is because Christ will enable us to endure. Help us to run this race that is there. Help us to look to those who won. May we look at the evidence they provide regarding faith and endurance. We have a great crowd of witnesses. Help us, our God, to run the race marked out for each one of us. Our Father, help us to run. By putting away anything that entangles and anything that hinders. Help us to run this race. Help us, we plead, in Jesus' name. Amen.